Jim Mattress Mack McInvale has been known for his innovative nature, his enthusiasm, his philanthropy, and for owning some fast horses. Now he's about to make his mark as a stallion owner. Run Happy, the brilliant sprinter he owned, who won the 2015 Breeders' Cup, will be represented for the first time at this fall's breeding stock sales as 23 of his weanlings will go through the ring. Mattress Mack is our guest on this week's TDN podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Family owned and operated since 1976, TaylorMade has dedicated the past three decades to serving clients and helping make equine dreams come true. No other agency has sold more Grade 1 winners, more graded stakes winners, or more Breeders' Cup champions than TaylorMade. Visit us at the sales or online at TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what TaylorMade can do for you.
When it comes to new sires to hit the market, few come into it with the credentials that Run Happy has. First of all, Run Happy was a rocket ship on the racetrack who earned a 2015 Eclipse Award.
Run Happy coming after him. These two will decide it. 5 minutes old. Run Happy's got him. Run Happy has won the sprint.
Another major factor is that he ran his entire career drug-free, something you almost never see from an American stallion. Yes, Jim McInvale has always thought outside the box, and we are pleased to have him as our guest this week on the TDN podcast. Welcome, Jim. How are you today?
Thanks for having me on, Bill. I'm thrilled to be on the TDN podcast, and it's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thanks so much. And Jim, let's just start with what I just mentioned, the Lasix factor. And you never once ran him on it, and I don't believe you run any of your horses on that medication. 99% of the horses in the sport or so do. Why do you choose that path?
No Lasix, no Bute, no injections. We think it's important to be transparent, genuine, and authentic. We think it helps the game when people know they're betting into an even playing field with no drugs. So we're a big sponsor of Hay Oats and Water, and we think if we're going to sponsor it, then we need to walk the walk and talk the talk. And I guess for the last 10 years, our horses have run with no drugs, no Lasix, no injections, and that's the way we're going to keep it.
Did you ever feel that that put Run Happy or any of your other horses at a disadvantage over the competition?
I felt like it put him at an advantage because he wasn't losing all that water weight like so many horses do, and he could run back quicker and wasn't exhausted and dehydrated after the race. So I know that the human athletes, and I know they drink water all the time through the competition, and our equine athletes do the same, so I think you put him at an advantage, not a disadvantage. I am a contrarian.
Okay. You certainly are, and with We're Unhappy, it was a philosophy that certainly worked. Now, so far as how you and your racing team handle the horses, besides the hay oats and water theory, is there anything else you do differently than the conventional stables?
Well, you know, we try to turn them out every day when the weather's good in the paddocks at the Kentucky Training Center in Lexington where we train, and we do a lot of therapy with them. We do massage therapy and all sorts of advanced athletic training facilities. We have a big hydro spa where they go in, they get hot water whirlpool and cold water whirlpool that we have in a big trailer right there by the Kentucky Training Center. So we do a lot of things to make sure the horse gets the best possible care and walk them out every day and get them out and exercise. So we try to keep them in the sun as much as possible. And in other words, treat them like horses and not put them in jail 23 and a half hours a day.
That sounds like a great life for the McInvale horses. Now, Jim, back to this horse as far as it goes to being a sire. With or without the Lasix factor that we have already discussed, his offspring are sure to be well-received at the sale. He was such a good horse. How could they not be? But might the fact that he accomplished so much without racing on drugs make people even more eager to buy his offspring?
Obviously, Bill, that's what we're hoping, but it's certainly for the market to decide. We're hoping that he will not only appeal to horse men and horse women in the United States, but also in Europe and Asia and South America because of his no Lasix, no drugs background. So we'll wait and see, but Run Happy has every chance to be a good sire. And I'm told he has some outstanding weanlings that are going to sell at Fantastic Tipton and Keeneland. So we're looking forward to that. And then looking forward to his yearlings next year in September at Keeneland and August at Fantastic Tipton.
Okay. Now, he stands at Claiborne. Couldn't ask for a better place for a horse to stand. But could you run down the ownership with him post-racing career? Do you still fully own him? Is it a syndicate? Does Claiborne own a piece? How does that all work?
It's a syndicate. I think I own about 75% of him, and lots of other horse owners involved, you know, with that bought shares and Run Happy. So we're happy to be involved with Run Happy on a 75% basis. And as you've probably seen in the different thoroughbred things, we do a lot of advertising for Run Happy. I think it's important to establish the brand, and his brand is fairly well established now. Now it's up to him to have runners.
Absolutely. Well, there's much more to come with Jim McInvale, but first this ad from our sponsor and our friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million, Hunter, right here, we're going to get out of the mat. That's the way, now it's in. 10-10, here we're going to get out of the mat, to get 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services, from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and grade one winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havre de Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
Welcome back, Jim. Obviously, weanlings are the hardest horses to judge so far as the types that come through the ring. And you've sort of already touched on this, but I want you to elaborate on it. But what are you hearing about how they look, how well you people think they might sell? What's the buzz?
At the recent sale at Keeneland, my sister-in-law, Laura Willers, who trained Run Happy, was getting lots of accolades that people like the Run Happy baby. So far, knock on wood, so good. And Bernie at Claiborne and Walker at Claiborne, they like the Run Happies they have. So far, so good. They're nice horses, and we hope they sell well at the initial weanling sale, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. Since the market was way up in September, we look for a good sale for the Run Happy weanlings in Keeneland at Basic Tipton as well as at Keeneland.
Okay. Are people expecting that they'll be like their daddy, that they'll be very good sprinters? You know, he certainly could have won up to a mile, but he was more known as a sprinter. He was, of course, a sprint champion. Is that more what you're expecting from the babies, or could they turn out to be any type? Maybe even grass horses. Who knows?
We're hoping he'll be like Bold Ruler, that he can get a great sprinter and also horses that can go a distance. So he's in Bold Ruler and Secretary and Easy Goer and Stall. So hopefully he'll have some of their traits. Mm-hmm. Not only can they go, you know, he was a champion at 6 furlongs. He won 2 grade 1s at 7 furlongs, and certainly could have won a mile race. We probably could have trained him a little differently in his 4-year-old career. But he had a great career, nothing but happy about it, and looking forward to Run Happy dominating on the racetrack and in the breeding shed. So far, so good. He's been very potent in his breeding career, and Bernie and Walker and everybody like him. So the table's set. Now he's got to go out there and play the game.
Terrific. Now, I don't know if you have many mares or not, but how about yourself? Did you breed any to him? And if so, what would be the plan? Sell them, race them? How about that?
We bred 5 or 6 to Run Happy. We're going to keep them and race them ourselves. We're very pleased with the way they look, and they're going to be, we hope, good racehorses. So 2 year, when they're 2-year-old and 3-year-old, certainly the tale will be told, and we think Run Happy's going to pass along his speed, his brilliance, and you know, he had a marvelous mind, and not only that, he had a marvelous will to win. So I think those are things that are kind of intangible that he can pass along.
They're going to be delivered to your home in about 6 to 8 weeks, if you're lucky, if you're lucky.
Run, don't walk. Time is money.
Comfort. Next.
Beauty.
Next.
Durability.
Next.
And that's no bull.
Blue. Blue.
Big fish. Ship.
Here we go.
Love seat. I love you.
recliners, I love you. Wall units, I love you.
Turning to a different subject now, what you just heard was a very clever compilation someone put together on YouTube of some of your commercials for your business, Gallery Furniture. They're funny, they're clever, and actually kind of nutty, but that helped create the legend that is Mattress Mack, and you are a legendary figure in both the furniture industry and throughout the Southwest, particularly in your hometown of Houston. Do you think, though, that when you first showed up at Racing, people were thinking, who is this crazy Texas furniture guy?
Yeah, you know, I'm a legend in my own mind, Bill. Still am. That's about as far as my legend goes. I've done some wacky things in racing. I sponsored the GalleryFurniture.com stakes at Turfway Park way back when. And I'm legendary for having fired 30 trainers because I wanted to do it my way. So the Maria Burrell blow-up a couple years ago was infamous. So I tend to do things my own way. We think out of the box, but hopefully we'll get some results with Run Happy. And I think horse racing is a great sport. It has a tremendous opportunity right now with some of the problems going in the other sports to re-grab some of the national spotlight. And I am very much in favor of hay, oats, and water and more transparency so people trust the sport more and will invest more dollars in it.
You brought up Maria Burrell, and she was the trainer for most of the career of Run Happy before you fired her. And then it turned out the story turned ugly where she was accused of neglecting animals. And obviously you had nothing to do with this. Nobody ever even suggested for a second that the McInvales were involved. But she, for lack of a better term, she allegedly did some things that make her look like a real bad apple. How shocked were you when you found out about the other side of Maria Burrell?
Well, we've had some problems before that I don't care to go into with Maria. And, you know, I can only wish people well. I don't want to call people out for, we all have faults, and certainly I have mine. But, you know, we went on. We took the criticism. We thought it was unfounded, but we went on, and we did the right thing by Run Happy, and we continue to do the right thing by all the horses that we have in training.
Okay. Now, Jim, you talked about some of the things you did in your earlier days in racing. You seem to keep a lower profile now. We don't hear much from you, and it's great that you're willing to do this podcast. Run Happy has certainly brought you back into the limelight, but am I right? Are you keeping a lower profile? And if so, why is that the case?
Well, I'm just working harder, Bill, so I can afford to buy more horses. The problem with horse racing is once you get addicted, it's worse than an addictive drug. And my wife doesn't much like it, but my sister Laura and her husband Kelly, they love it. They're the horse trainers. My daughter Laura loves it.
Right.
And we are in search of another Run Happy. And let me tell you what, that's expensive. It'll make you want to get up and go to work in the morning.
I gotcha. Okay. Now, you were also, in the beginning, a lot more outspoken. Now, you've already talked about your fervent belief that horses should run medication-free, but I imagine there's more things about horse racing, which we all know, and you could say the same thing about any business, maybe the furniture business, perhaps, has problems. What are the issues about horse racing that still keep you up at night and things that you'd like to see changed and fixed?
I think there's disruption in every business. There's certainly disruption in the furniture business. It's called Amazon. It's a tremendous threat to all of us brick-and-mortar retailers. We have to get better, and competition is the best coach. It makes you want to get up in the morning. I think horse racing was a king during the 50s and 60s and then got a little complacent, if you will, and got passed up by some of these other sports. But I think with the advent of the World Wide Web and worldwide information, horse racing has a tremendous opportunity to grab the lead. And I applaud people like Naira and what they're doing at Saratoga, refurbishing it so the customer has a great experience when they come there. I applaud Keeneland and Del Mar and those places to put on those special boutique meets. I think we need more of those. Kentucky Downs is a good example. Obviously, they get a lot of money for slot machines, but it's a short meet with the high purses and lots of excitement. And I think we need more of that in the United States. We need to figure out how to have bigger fields, which in turn makes more exciting racing and better races for the patrons to bet on. Because at the end of the day, the customers are the business.
You got it. Jim, also, you have a relatively small stable. I believe you have about 20 horses. Why is that a good number for you? You certainly would have the means to, if you wanted to, go out and be one of those guys with 150 horses. Why is 20 a good number for the McInvale brand, McInvale stable?
20 is manageable for Laura and Kelly and Cordell and our crew to handle it. And, you know, with we're not looking for quantity. We're looking for quality, and we turn them over pretty fast when it turns out they can't run. So we're looking for quality all the time, and that's we think 20 is a good number. We don't need 100 horses because the cost of upkeep to these horses is exorbitant. So we need to find some horses that can run so we can make some money and fund the business and then buy some more at the yearling, weanling, two-year-old stages.
Right. Okay. But now you mentioned that, and again, going back to kind of the early days of Jim McInvale's career in horse racing, you weren't out there buying, bidding against the Sheiks and Coolmore, but it wouldn't be shocking to see you walk away with a $600,000 or $700,000 horse at the sales. We really don't see that much anymore. You sort of shop in the much more middle market. You're shopping at IKEA, not at Gallery Furniture when it comes to horses. So why the change in that strategy to look for the good $65,000 horse instead of the $650,000 horse?
Well, I think we're shopping at Gallery Furniture. We're shopping for quality, but we're also shopping for a really good value that's made in America. Run Happy was a great horse and we bought him for $200,000. So anywhere from, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 down to 60. If Laura finds a horse that she thinks is an athlete, we buy it and then we see how it turns out. As you know, 1 out of 5,000 horses is one that gets the money back, and it's a tough game, but we're continually looking to find that 1 out of the 5,000 who can run like Run Happy.
In racing, people know Jim McInvale for his horses. What some people may not know, that there is perhaps no one on the face of the earth that is more philanthropic and has a bigger heart than Jim McInvale. That's a subject we'll touch on when we come back following this commercial from TaylorMade.
Why do TaylorMade horses sell for nearly double the market average? A history of success, honesty, and hard work. For over 40 years, buyers and sellers alike have trusted TaylorMade as the industry's top source for high-quality thoroughbreds and friendly service. While sellers get top dollar for their horses, buyers are rewarded for top results on the track. From sale toppers to Grade 1 winners to Breeders' Cup champions, think TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing.
Shelters across Houston, stadiums, convention centers, churches embracing the suddenly homeless. And one man opened the doors to his store, an act of generosity that made perfect sense. ABC's Matt Cubbin is inside that store, Matt.
Think about it, George. What could be a softer crash pad than a furniture store that already has model bedrooms? But not every store owner would be happy with evacuees sprawling out over millions of dollars of merchandise. But then again, not every store owner is a Texan, known as Mattress Mac.
Okay, no problem.
This is Jim McInvale, better known as Mattress Mac.
You want your furniture delivered when? Gallery Furniture really well pays you money.
I am Mattress Mac. How can I help?
A beloved local businessman.
Take it away, George.
With a Texas-sized personality. And since 1981, he's owned the high-end Gallery Furniture stores in Houston. Soon after the wind started blowing, 66-year-old Mac went from selling to giving.
We got lots of beds, we got lots of food, we got water.
Offering a free port in the storm.
And we're opening up both buildings as shelters during this horrible time.
Mac had plenty of takers. He says a lucky few hundred came in on their own, others rescued by his own delivery trucks.
We sent them out, picked up about 200 people. They were stranded on bridges, they were stranded at convenience stores, they were walking through the water with snakes and alligators.
They all found shelter at Mac's two Houston stores and warehouses, where they could recover from their struggles on plush beds and couches with high-altitude price tags.
What you just heard was a clip from ABC News detailing the amazing act of generosity from Jim McInvale, who opened his stores after Hurricane Harvey to give shelter to anyone who needed it in the battered city of Houston, his hometown. And Jim, could you talk about that, please? Why was it so important for you to do that for the people of your town?
Well, you know, Winston Churchill once said, what type of people do they think we are? We're Texans and we're Americans. We take care of each other. And the people were calling the store saying, come get us, we're going to drown. So we dispatched our trucks through the high water, picked them up and brought them in. We brought in about 500 people to both stores and housed them and fed them for 3 or 4 days. And, you know, Hurricane Harvey was the worst of times for Southeast Texas, also the best of times because it brought us all together across all political and economic spectrums, whether you're right wing or left wing, rich or poor, we all helped each other. And that's kind of what I was taught to do as a child. And I hope to continue to do that and leave a legacy to my children and grandchildren that the essence of living is giving.
And you did some similar work after Hurricane Katrina, and combined that with many other philanthropic things that you did. I looked up online. I saw that there was a petition on change.org where they collected 130,000 signatures that they wanted to make August 26 Mattress Mac Day in Houston. And the petition called McInvale, quote, an icon. But you said you didn't really want that honor. And why wouldn't recognition be important to you? Are you someone
the people that are the heroes of Hurricane Harvey or the heroes every day in Texas or Kentucky or wherever you're at are the first responders, the firemen, the police, and the EMTs who during this horrific 70-inch rain put their life on the mm-hmm. line for 5 or 6 days in a row. I was just a furniture guy who happened to open up his furniture store and let people live here. But the heroes were the firemen, the police, and the National Guardsmen, the EMTs who protected all of us. So I think credit should go where credit's due. And it's not due to me, a furniture huckster. It's due to the valiant people who risked their lives to save their fellow citizens.
Well, I would accuse you of being overly modest, but let's leave it at that. And you also donated mattresses to people, particularly the stable hands, et cetera, after that terrible fire at San Luis Rey Downs. Tell us a little bit more about that and why you did that.
You know, we had horses at San Luis Rey Downs. The Lord trained out there for a couple of years, so we were very familiar with the people there. And once the horrific fire swept through the facility, they needed mattresses at the Del Mar racetrack. And, you know, I'm in the mattress business. It was not a big deal to talk to our suppliers and get some mattresses sent mm-hmm. down there. And it was just our way to help. And I think the horse racing business needs to pay more attention to the fans. We need to pay more attention to the backstretch workers who are the heartbeat of the business, because the fans run the business and the backstretch workers make the business work.
Okay. Jim, I want to ask you this question in two parts. First of all, what would you like your legacy to be when it comes to horse racing?
As a guy who played the game hard and a guy who did it his way with hay oats and water and showed that you can have successful horses in the United States without drugging them, and by always putting the animal's needs first, you in turn, you win in the end, because the animal, the horse is what the game's all about. That is what I'd like my legacy to be in horse racing, along with Run Happy and hopefully a couple others going down as sires who may be influenced a breed.
Okay. Same question. What would you like your legacy to be in your life and your business career?
As a person who made a difference, there's a famous book by Clayton Christensen called How Will Your Life Measure Up? At the end of the day, it's not about how much money you made. It's about how many people's lives you affected for the better. So if my wife and I can live a life and set an example for people that by giving you receive, then we've done something right with our lives.
Finally, we all know that Jim McInvale is a huge Houston Astros fan. Now, I happen to be a huge Boston Red Sox fan. I was in the stands the other night at Fenway Park when we evened up the series at 1-1. And the series is going to shift today, the day we're taping it, back to Houston. Two great teams, the two best teams in the American League. So, Jim, how about a friendly bet between an Astros fan and a Red Sox fan? And here's my proposal. The Red Sox win the series. You let me name a horse, one of your horses, and I'm going to name it something like MVP Mookie Betts or Red Sox Rock. If the Astros win the series, I will appear in the Thoroughbred Daily News, which has a daily picture section, wearing an Astros uniform. You want to take me up on that bet?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You can name the horse your Skrimsky or whoever you want to name it, but at the end, you'll be wearing your Astros orange in the publication. So I look forward to that.
Okay, that you're a great sport, and I will.
The bet is on.
Okay, and I will come through. I think that you might win this bet. I'm a little worried about my team, but yes, I will. It'll hurt as much as it will hurt me. I will honor your Houston Astros and all the great players like Altuve, Springer, Verlander, etc. by wearing a picture of myself in an Astros jersey in the Thoroughbred Daily.
I'll get you an Astros jersey that says Alex Bregman on the back, my favorite player, and I'll send it to you, Bill.
I would love that. Okay. So, and then if I win, I name a horse after a Red Sox. Okay?
Sounds good to me. Yes, sir.
All right. Jim, you've been fun. You're always a good sport. And take a time to pat yourself on the back. You're too humble. You've done some great things for the sport and for the people of Houston. And people really do appreciate and love you for it.
Great, Bill. Nice to talk to you. You're a legend in the horse racing business. You've done a great job in the business over the years. I want to thank the people for TaylorMade for all their effort and money they put into the business to make the business grow. They're great supporters of horse racing, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all down the road. Hopefully, I'll have another run happy.
Very good. Thank you, Jim McInville.
Thank you. Bye-bye.